This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
Do we have anything to talk about today? How is Shh. I want to just say this. How is your league doing? That's all I'm gonna say. How is your league doing? For a conference in the Atlantic Coast Conference that was ripped to shreds by literally everybody in the national media, here we sit with 16 remaining, Wes.
Yeah.
And we got three from the old ACC, that league that used to be able to play basketball. How about that?
Yeah. And a couple of them got there with wins over, I don't know, one or two seeds, right? Then we had another game in a 2-7 deal that was out of sight.
God, that was such
a 2-7 game. It was like a Final Four game.
Yeah.
And
Notre Dame almost made it four last night.
Yeah, Irish picked the wrong time for a three-minute scoring drought at the end.
Well, they're up three with two to go. We're going to get into all these games. We're going to take your phone calls and all that great stuff, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. But it almost was four.
Yeah.
It really was.
To me, the league has held itself to a pretty high level here, and we have seen – and it's not surprising, I guess, that the three teams remaining are three teams that got byes in Brooklyn at the tournament. They're three of the top four teams type deal. And it was almost four for four, right? If Notre Dame beats Texas Tech, it's the four teams that have byes that are all continuing to play. It's interesting because of the way it all sets up, though, and the way these style games are being played, and this event being unpredictable as it is. To see Miami do what they did yesterday, Carolina the day before, and Duke certainly yesterday against Michigan State, just shows you that the league has been kind of building all year long. It didn't get off to a great start. We've talked about that. But, man, oh, man, from about mid-February on, these teams, for the most part, have been really, really good. Now, there have been some dips along the way, but for the most part, pretty good.
Yep, no question. The tournament's been as advertised, right?
Oh, it's been as volatile as we thought it was going to be.
Yep, unpredictable. Right. Last week you were asking me about what do you think. So, and I told you I like the 11 seeds going into the tournament.
Right.
And I thought all four 11s would win their first round game. Three of them did. The only one that didn't, ironically, was the ACC tournament champion, Virginia Tech, who lost to Texas. And Texas, I thought, was better
than
Virginia Tech when they played. But you got two 11 seeds in the Sweet 16, so the 11s have been really, really good. I thought Notre Dame playing three games in 5 days. I thought the wear and tear of Texas Tech, you knew it was going to be a tough physical fist fight. That's just the way they play.
Mm-hmm.
But it really unfortunately showed about 2 months ago. Notre Dame's up three, 2 minutes to go, and then Texas Tech goes on that 10-0 run. But other than that, Wes, man, you couldn't have asked more for the conference from a men's perspective. Louisville, by the way, on the ladies' side, punched their Sweet 16 ticket for the fifth straight time. Three ACC women's teams play today in the NCAA tournament. But from the men's side, not only do you have three in the Sweet 16, you also have Wake Forest and Virginia, who are undefeated in the NIT. Mm-hmm. So they both have now combined to go 4-0. You throw an 8-2 on the men's side, plus 4-0 in the NIT. For a conference that was basically ridiculed by everybody in the national media, the league is 12-2 in the postseason. 12 up, 2 down.
Hey, okay.
What do I always say? You want to change a narrative, there's only one way to do it.
Yep.
Win. And that's exactly what this league has done so far to date.
Absolutely. Why don't we start in Greenville yesterday here at the top? Because the game itself, take all the stuff hanging in the balance, you know, Mike Krzyzewski's last year, the ball game itself had that Final Four type feel to it. Now, it felt like we were in New Orleans and we were playing the second game on Saturday, about the last 14 minutes of the ball game for sure. I thought the first half, you know, there were runs and there were tusses and, you know, going back and forth, and it was a 3-7 point margin, that kind of thing. But then with about 12 minutes to go in the game, it locked down. It locked down into exactly what you would hope a game like this would be. And Duke ends up winning 85-76 in part because the Blue Devils had a three-point lead and guarded. They also had a three-point lead and in the process defensively forced Michigan State to take some tough shots. Now, that three right there was huge. Jeremy Roach's was bigger. But Michigan State got around the basket late. Mark Williams deflected there. He had a couple of blocks late. Here's the one. Look at that thing. That right there was a dagger for me.
Well, this, in the first half of this game where Duke got on a run, bless you, when Duke got on a run and we were up 7, Michigan State always responded.
Right.
Always responded. So you knew Sparty wasn't going anywhere. And again, Tom Izzo, brilliant coach.
Yep.
And these guys have now seen each other 6 times in the NCAA tournament. They know each other. The DNA of both of these programs is stellar.
Yep.
Right. And so they were not going to give an inch. And so Duke couldn't pull away. And then Duke went on another one of those runs in the second half, and you're like, all right, Michigan State's on the brink, and they responded. Mm-hmm. And then when Michigan State went up 5 with 5 minutes to go, it was really, okay, Duke, you've reached that point of your season. You know, you're going to look deep into your heart and your soul. Right. What do you have in you, right? And what do? They go 5 for 5 down the stretch. Michigan State goes 2 of 9, and Duke goes from 5 down. They win by 9. If you didn't see the game at all, and you just see the final score, you went, oh, man, Duke took care of it. This was anybody's game with 5 or 6 minutes ago. It really was. It was a tremendous game. Crowd was great. Teams were great. It's exactly what you love about March Madness.
And I also think, too, that Michigan State got good shots.
Yeah.
Duke defended well, but Michigan State got really good shots. They were 11 of 22 from 3. I think they finished 50% in the ball game. Right. They just didn't waste shots from behind the line. They drove the ball to the basket. They created opportunities. They got Duke trapped a couple times in two-man and pick-and-roll games. Defensively, I thought the Spartans were fine. I thought Duke was very good. I didn't think as a team they were as connected as they've been in the past, but I thought Banchero was sensational in the first half. I thought Banchero kind of kept Duke alive, and when Michigan State built a 5-point lead, I thought Banchero hit big shots. He hit tough shots. I mean, look at this. That's 6'10", 250 at that distance. And then he turns around and goes back to work inside. See, driving the ball on Joey Hauser. I mean, stuff like that. This is why everybody likes this player, and they like him a lot at the next level, obviously. Could have gone either way. But they needed him, Pack, and they needed Williams late because A.J. Griffin did not have a great game.
We got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, we get hurt, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But here's what I loved about Duke yesterday. Points in the paint. We're not going to settle for jump shots. When Banchero goes to the basket, I don't know who guards him.
I don't either.
I mean, he's 6'10", and he is a problem when he goes to the basket. Duke had 44 points in the paint yesterday. Mm-hmm. Why do I bring that up? Because it's Duke attacked. I got a sense they weren't just settling on jumpers yesterday. They went at a physical team and said, "Nah, we're taking it right to your chest. Right. Here we go." And why is that important? Here's why it's important. Your next game's against Texas Tech. You know what they do? They take you to a back alley with a bat. They are going to be physical and tough and nasty. And if you aren't tough inside, you don't survive Texas Tech. Texas Tech's given up 18 points in the paint. In the paint. They're the best in the country. Duke's 44 against Michigan State in the paint will serve them well later this week because that is the kind of game they're going to need. It's going to be a heck of a game,
man. Yep, I agree with that on that. In San Francisco later this week, Thursday night, right?
Yeah, and by the way, Duke has never won an NCAA tournament game in California. They're 0-3 all time. So if Kay's tour wants to continue, that's a little nugget, a little bar bet. You can press your buddies who aren't watching the show.
There you
you
go.
You can drop that little nugget on them this week.
How about us giving you some early intel 11 minutes after the hour? By the way, there's that whole – remember that thing we talked about at the top, that whole finality thing of a 42-year coaching career? Every once in a while, it starts to weave itself into Coach K's commentary. Watch this after the ball game yesterday. He's emotional about the win for his team.
I'm incredibly proud of my guys. This is you guys were terrific, man. I'm so I'm really proud to be your coach. Yeah, that had nothing to do with coaching in those last 4 or 5 minutes. It all had to do with heart and togetherness. And they followed their hearts, and God bless them. We're in the Sweet 16.
You know, we got down, and we was in the timeout, and we was like, look, you know, we got three, I think it was like 3:40 something or four minutes. And we was like, man, we got 4 minutes. We can either, you know, lay down or we can, you know, turn it up.
Mark, I I saw that cut last night, the cut that Kay had. And I think now you can see what he's really going to miss about this. It's that. It's the connectivity with the team winning, those type games, that kind of environment, the competitive competition that he gets from those games. People say, what is he going to miss? Is he going to miss all that? Yeah, sure, there'll be several things. But that particular emotion right there that we saw from him after the game, I think that's the part about this that he will miss.
I'm glad you said that, because for a second I thought you were going to say, you know what he's going to miss? Seeing his replays on our show.
No. No, he's not going to miss. He will not miss.
That was a great game. I'm telling you.
That was a great game.
If you love college basketball, Duke Michigan State yesterday was everything that's great about the game.
Yeah.
The crowd was into it. Players are getting after it. Nobody backed down. Izzo's awesome. Great program. Runs it the right way. Kay's awesome. Runs it the right way.
Yep.
Both teams had a chance to break, and neither would. That's, yep. I mean, like I say all the time, I just want to be entertained. That's all I ever ask about a game.
Yeah.
Just entertain me.
Yep.
That's exactly what that game was yesterday. It was tremendous.
We have a really good problem this morning.
For once.
Yeah. We couldn't go wrong. Well, we could go wrong in some of your eyes. You being our viewers. Yeah. We've gone wrong in some eyes because we led with one and we didn't lead with the other. But guess what? That's the good problem we have.
Well, if we had a Sunday morning show,
yeah,
it'd have been an easy lead.
It'd have been an easy lead.
Yeah.
Monday morning, a little more difficult.
Well, we got a lot to brag about. We got a lot to beat our chest about.
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll talk about the other Sunday games. Don't worry, Saturday folks. We're getting to you. I promise, right?
And Miami fans, don't think, oh, you guys just want to talk about Tobacco Road.
No.
Miami did the league proud last night.
Miami did something I was thrilled with yesterday.
Woodshed.
Yeah, that was a woodshed job in Greenville, too. We will get to that coming up next. The Canes on the way to the Sweet 16 next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. And there is the Big Ten in the SEC, sound asleep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I said that. Am I wrong about that?
No, not at all, but that was good.
You got to call it like you see
17 minutes after the hour, you threw one over the front bow. I mean,
the Big Ten. I shouldn't do the Big Ten.
No.
You know what? Because they've improved.
That's it.
Because last year they put 9 teams in.
But America's Basketball League only has one team left.
Well, the Big Ten last year had 9 teams in the tournament.
And I heard them say it this year, right?
And you're done. I'm going to give you a statement, a fact.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The Big Ten last year had 9 teams in the tournament. They put 1 in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
This year they put 2.
Yeah.
So they're making an improvement.
What about America's Basketball League?
Who's that? American Conference?
No. The America's Basketball League. I heard about it all winter long. I heard about America's Basketball League. The Southeastern Conference? How'd they do?
Is that what they were called?
Well, I just heard how great it was, and it was the best league in America. And it was, you know, basketball haven and everything else.
I think their league is good.
Their league is good.
They just had a horrific tournament.
Well, I think we've always talked about it, and I've heard this before from other folks. That's the way you measure how your league is played is the way it does in the tournament.
Well, you don't change the rules now.
Right.
I mean, that's true.
But and Arkansas, Eric Musselman, who can really coach it.
Maybe a league shouldn't put 9 teams in the tournament every year. I mean, they haven't won it since 2000. I mean, every year it seems like the Big Ten's got 8 and they got 9. It's like, okay, at what point in time do you do something? Just ask it.
Pac-12's got UCLA.
Well, and Arizona.
Oh, and Arizona. Yeah, how about that last night? How about that last night? I was a little late on that. I didn't make that one.
Overtime, TCU.
Yeah. Jamie Dixon. I remember him.
Jamie Dixon, good coach.
Yeah. He's a good coach.
Really good coach. But, you know, this tournament never disappoints, man. You just, you know, and we've been on the other side where all of a sudden you just kind of struggle and you can't. Last year was a perfect example of this conference.
Yep.
Couldn't get out of the mud last year.
Right.
I mean, really got to the Sweet 16, basically. 42 straight years, by the way, the ACC's been in the Sweet 16. 42 consecutive tournaments. Is that any good?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Next closest is the Big 12 with 23. Let that marinate a second. Now, I will also warn you on this. 1 week from today, March 28th, we could be in here talking about, hey, look who's in the Final Four. This tournament can turn on a dime. right, can turn on dime. I mean, you've seen enough games now that, hey, every time you think you've got something figured out, here comes a curveball. Here comes St. Peter's, right? Here comes a double seed knocking off a low seed. So, I mean,
you want to rule anybody out for next week yet?
I'm ruling out St. Peter's. I mean, enough's enough now. 15, that's a cool story.
Enough's enough.
That's a cool story, but you guys, no disrespect to you good folks up there in Jersey City. It's been a fun ride, but there's no place for 15s in the Final Four. It's a cool story. My opinion, get all the hate mail from Jersey City you want. But y'all, that's been a cool story, man. You get a thumbs up for me.
Enough's enough, though. I mean, got to move on. Is that what we're doing?
You know, you eventually weed yourself through and the best team and start rocking it, moving on now. It has been a wild tournament as expected. Much like last year when we had four double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16, here we go again.
Here we go.
Four double-digit seeds again.
All right. Let's get to Greenville. Game two yesterday. Miami led early. They led often.
They led all day.
Yeah, they
all
did.
All 40 minutes.
79-61 the final. And how much have we talked about the guards? McGusty, Wong, Charlie Moore. Roll the video because the Canes went to... Oh, not a poster. Oh, no.
Jabari.
No, not the first pick in the draft.
Jabari.
Oh, Isaiah Wong, Cam McGusty. Good heavens. Look at that, huh?
That dunk now. When that dunk hit, I was on, and I hate this thing right here. I was on this thing right here when that dunk hit. Holy mackerel. I'm going to watch this
get
again.
Get one more, huh?
6'11"? Yeah. Oh. Your mama. That's what that was. Bam.
Pat goes 1978
on
him.
I'm just telling you, man, that was brutal. Jabari Smith's like a star. I mean, that dude is
he's number one pick in the draft.
I think he's a great player.
He's a terrific player.
And he got abused on that now. How about Wong, though, right? Back-to-back 20-pointers.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
First time since Dirt for Miami basketball player to go back-to-back 20-plus in NCAA tournament games. Yep. Miami was great, man. Their guards totally dominated and confused Auburn all night long.
Charlie Moore, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. First Miami player in an NCAA tournament game to pull that trick. I thought Charlie Moore's ability to change gears yesterday, especially in the second half, was crucial to keeping Miami kind of in tempo against Auburn. I really did. I thought Charlie Moore played a terrific game in terms of just the speed of the game. He knew when to go fast. He knew when to slow down.
Can we give Jim Larranaga a little credit for putting on a clinic last
coaching night matters, doesn't it?
To Bruce Pearl. I mean, that was almost abuse is what that was.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
I like old Bruce Pearl, but that was a complete mismatch in the coaching front last night.
Double-digit seeds, multiple schools to the Sweet 16. Look at this list. Jim Larranaga, Steve Alford, Gary Williams, Tom Penders, by the way, on that list.
Would not have guessed Tom Penders.
Yep. Texas and Rhode Island.
Would have gotten the other three. Would not have guessed Tom Penders.
Yep. So Miami a winner, 79-61. That's the good news.
How about an 18-point win?
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Is that crazy?
Can we run one more thing here?
Sure.
Apparently, Zepp Jasper, before the game, wanted to offer up some comments about Miami's guard play and the transition offense. And this was prior to the game. They're in the ACC. We're in the SEC. We're one of the best defensive teams in the country. They haven't seen a defense like us.
Oh, my God.
This is not time of year to be talking.
Good hype. Got to appreciate good hype.
Yep.
Hype, hype, hype.
But the Intercontinental Television belt goes to Miami. Here's Jim Larranaga.
By the way, we know a little bit about basketball in this league. Just saying. We're not celebrating our 10-year anniversary since the last time we won one. We're not. Now, there may be somebody else doing that, but we don't do that in this league. Yeah. Now, when people start running their mouths, you only run your mouth about football, I get it. But you know what? The ACC,
no,
Clemson's won a couple here in the last couple years. Right. But when you start running your mouth about basketball, that includes the media.
Here is Jim Larranaga, by the way, after the ball game, and the value and the importance of the Miami win and maybe helping America along the way?
Well, to begin with, I was tuned into the games before us, and I listened to Charles Barkley tell the CBS crew that if Auburn won, he would take off his shirt. And I thought to myself, man, no one wants to see that, Chuck. So we did everything possible to make it possible that he wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, Chuck was a little quiet after the game last night.
Yeah.
They had a great year, though. I got to admit, Auburn, I mean, Bruce has done a tremendous job there.
Yep.
But they got schooled last night. They got schooled.
Be interesting to see from their perspective. Jabari Smith, great definitely play. Gone.
Kessler, of course, we knew him here in this league.
Yeah. Be interesting. He'll have a choice to make, too.
Does Auburn fly back in their private planes, or they go by bus after the game? Just ask.
I don't know. Traffic, I can tell you how traffic was yesterday. It'd be a while. It might still be on the road.
85 South is not kind.
Nor is North.
Yeah, believe me. 85, I'd take the private planes if I could, too.
ACC almost pulled the hat trick yesterday. And it got down to about, the last 3 minutes. And the right button, Notre Dame could not push it in the last three. 59-53, the final. Texas Tech, the winner, is the 3 seed. O'Banner was terrific inside, 15 points, 15 rebounds. The Irish just could not. In the last 146, Texas Tech went on a 10-0 run. Pack, it seemed to me that Notre Dame was laboring to get shots really in about the last 2.5 minutes of the game.
Well, I don't want to pick on somebody here, but, man, Blake Wesley would like to have these 2 minutes back.
Yeah.
He misses a free throw. He turns it over twice. It was just a rough, rough 2 minutes for Notre Dame. They're up 3, 2 minutes to go. You're thinking, man, they may just pull this thing off. And to Texas Tech's credit, they are tough. They are physical.
Right.
They don't back down. They don't mind a fist fight. And I do think Notre Dame, not that this is an excuse, but that third game in 5 days, you get down to a tough physical team like Texas Tech.
Right.
That just is not going to give up points in the paint, or points period for that matter. I thought it was a tough matchup for Notre Dame going into it. They did a heck of a job up 3, though, with 2 minutes to go. They just simply did not execute down the stretch. That 10-0 run ball game. See you later.
But I would say this, in terms of bringing Notre Dame back, job well done by Mike Bray.
He had a perfect, he had his kind of team.
Yep.
Old team. Blake Wesley was tremendous as a freshman in his rookie season, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you ask Notre Dame fans, hey, you're going to win a couple in the tournament. Are you going to finish tied for second in the ACC regular season? They had a tremendous year.
Yeah, they did.
Really did.
Yeah. Now, question will be, there are a couple things from a personnel standpoint. They've got a terrific recruiting class, headlined by J.J. Starling, I think, who's a McDonald's All-America. I know they have high expectations there. I'm sure there is some decision process that has to play out for Blake Wesley here. There is, I should add here, there is a chance, I think, and I don't know that it's been defined, and if it has, I've missed it along the way, and I apologize for that, but Dane Goodwin could come back and play one more year at South Bend. Nate Leshefsky, Prentice Hubb are certainly done. Paul Atkinson can also file to play one more year as well.
Again, let me know what a roster looks like in October.
I know how you are.
That is my answer to every team in college basketball. Yep. When you start talking about the 22-23 season in March or April. That sounds great, but let me know what the roster actually looks like in October.
Yeah. But the Irish, congratulations on a great season. And a tough 6-point loss to Texas Tech.
You know, making 10 threes was really the magic number for them all year. I think they were 15-1 this season when they made 10 or more threes. They didn't reach double digits. They were close last night. And that turned out to be the difference.
When we come back, we had to save a whole segment for Saturday.
Oh, this game.
Spectrum of emotions.
Oh, my goodness.
For Carolina fans in Fort Worth. Tar Heels advanced to the Sweet 16 by eliminating the top seed Baylor. Highlights and details next, as they say in the business. This is Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer. and West Durham.
Hey, more lacrosse coming up next Saturday, 1 o'clock. We'll send you to Charlottesville, number 16, Notre Dame, number 2, Virginia. Full coverage of ACC lacrosse all spring long right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Who's need to bounce back after this weekend? We'll get to the best and worst of the weekend up later in the show.
Saturday in Fort Worth, however, there is a lot to get unpacked here. Spectrum of emotions.
Oh my God! What a, this game was beyond. This game needed some paramedics. Fans needed help. This game had everything. This game had, first of all, terrible officiating. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Had terrible. Yeah, I think the officials in this tournament have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
This game was not well officiated. This game was out of control early, and they never had a handle on it. Okay. Ever had a handle on it.
All right.
And then North Carolina decided to go lights out on Baylor. And they go up by 25. 25 on the one seed.
Right.
And old Brady Manick gets caught throwing an elbow through a guy's skull, who, by the way, could have probably been fouled out in the first 8 minutes of the game, but didn't.
Okay.
And then Baylor, to their credit and their championship DNA,
right,
said, hey, you know what? We're not going out this way. And they put North Carolina on roller skates. And this thing was as wild a game as you'd ever want to see.
All right.
This game was absolutely drunk, is what this game was.
Charlie Moore's diving shot at Duke or R.J. Davis's diving shot against Baylor?
This is a tournament game.
I know.
This is a
Charlie Moore's winning at Cameron.
I understand that, but you know what? You live for another day at Cameron.
Okay.
This game was.
Sure.
If you're North Carolina, we can't lose.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. You're up 25 with not like you're not up 25 mid first half, and there's a lot of basketball. You're up 25 with 10 minutes to go.
Right.
And in complete, total control.
Right.
You cannot lose the game. The pressure of, hey, we can't lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be completely honest with you. When it got to overtime,
you were sacking bats, weren't you?
I thought North Carolina was toast.
Yeah.
I mean, Manick's out. He's already dressed and maybe been halfway back to Chapel Hill, for all I know. Caleb Love, he's fouled out.
Right.
North Carolina's got a lineup that you kind of go, okay, who's taking a shot here? And then all of a sudden, Dontrez Styles makes a three, the first shot of the overtime, and I'm going,
who's that?
Who is that guy?
Yeah, Dontrez Styles, man.
That was such a big three because Baylor's got all the momentum.
Puff Johnson on the floor too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was like, who is the – hey, Hubert, I need to buy a program. Who are these guys, right? Who's going to take a shot? I thought North Carolina's guttiness in overtime was sensational because I thought they were in deep, deep trouble going to overtime.
Remember when we ran the clip on Friday – talking Hubert about the fight. Remember that?
He got it. And they displayed it.
Exactly. So maybe it's taken the regular season. Maybe it's taken the ACC tournament to conceptualize and show enough examples of the fight that it takes to win. Now, Manick here, I ain't tell you. By the way, has this been adjudicated beyond this game? I haven't heard a word. Because remember, this happened twice in the ACC.
Bam.
Right?
You know, if you only saw this play, only saw the play.
Right.
I think you'd go, well, that seemed kind of severe to throw a guy out for that. Yeah, I think you had to see the culmination of this game. This game had an edginess and a chippiness to
had
it.
Had to with all the fouls.
Holy mackerel. I don't even know how you want to go down this road. I mean, again, I thought the officials did a horrific job in this game. And I'm not just saying because Manick got thrown out.
Right.
There was never any consistency. The refs had a chance to get this thing under control early and did a lousy job.
Mm-hmm.
Then the game plays out. North Carolina starts destroying Baylor. Baylor says, forget this. We're going to go ball. Let's just go for it. We got nothing to lose. We're down 25. And they go, absolutely, to their credit,
right,
played awesome. Now, they're hacking. They're going to do whatever they could to create chaos and were brilliant and played great the last 10 minutes. And I thought the officials got wrapped into the motion of the game, too. It was this game, like I said, had everything. It was a combination of the WWE. It had lacrosse. The only thing you missed was sticks in this game.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was bonkers how physical this game was.
So, remember, Brady Manick, it was not a flagrant two, right?
Bam, he's out.
Oh, it was a flagrant two. So, now, have they adjudicated this? Is he out of the Sweet 16 game?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, because the way the NCAA, we saw it happen twice in the ACC. You remember that this year. So, we're waiting to hear that now, apparently, if there is some kind of...
I've not heard the answer.
I haven't heard that either. That's why I was asking the question.
He is a critical piece of the equation. Of course, I will say they're going to take on UCLA, right? Got two ultimate blue bloods here. North Carolina, UCLA. Only the third time they've ever met. It's coming up in the tournament. And all of a sudden, UCLA's got injury issues, too. So
Johnny Juzang got hurt, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so that could be a major blow for UCLA. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes as the week goes on. So you want everybody on the floor.
Right? No doubt.
You reach this point, the 16 teams left.
Right.
But, man, this game was crazy.
This game was. Let's go post-game Saturday in Fort Worth. Here is the head coach of the Tar Heels.
None of us wanted to go home. And so it's a highly competitive game. Baylor is defending champions. They were a number one seed, and they are absolutely unbelievable. And you just had two teams that were fighting and scratching and kicking and clawing. They stepped up their effort, but we stepped up our effort as well. And we were able to make the plays that we needed to make in order to win the game.
None of us wanted to go home. We don't want to leave. I want to leave my brothers and... I mean, it was a tough last 5 minutes in overtime, and I mean, all year we've just been hearing about different things about us, how we're a soft team, how we don't like to fight, and I mean, today I think we really showed that we can fight and just to persevere in a moment like that and just come together. I mean, I'm just so proud and glad we won.
Well done.
You know, shout out there to Baylor real quick.
Sure.
All right. You know, defending national champ, they're not defending anything. You know, they already got that one. They're trying to win another one. But for a team that lost four starters of last year's championship team,
right,
had two starters out in this game, it just goes to show the job Scott Drew has done. If that team's completely healthy, you don't think they don't have a shot at winning going back-to-back? Of course they do. This was a great win for North Carolina. I mean, it was just 8 seed beating 1 seed. That's now the 9th time that North Carolina has knocked off a number 1 seed, tying them with D-U-K-E, Duke, at the top.
There you go.
It was a tremendous game. Unbelievable.
Carolina and UCLA is the late game Friday night at the Wells Fargo Arena.
I ain't worried about Friday night late games. You know what game I'm worried about?
What's that?
I'm worried about Texas Tech Duke tipping off about 10:15 p.m. Eastern time.
Thursday night.
Yeah, because you know why?
Why?
Because we have a show Friday morning. That's why.
Yeah, I understand. All right, let's get to David in North Carolina at 844-SAY-ACC. And David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're fine, sir.
Good. Mark, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought the officiating was terrible in the North Carolina game. Seemed like there was some true bias down there in Texas. They did everything but make shots from the referees, and I really felt it was bad. But I also want to note that Notre Dame might have suffered more at the referee's hands. They literally had points taken off the board, and they had some calls that changed the momentum severely. I'd like to hear your comments on both of those.
Yeah, that inadvertent whistle, they screwed up the shot clock. It cost Notre Dame a basket. But I will say, though, that play, which they totally butchered, Notre Dame got the ball back and it made a three on that possession. So take it for whatever it's worth. Notre Dame's got nothing to complain about because you got the lead. Your man Blake Wesley's is shooting free throws. You're up 3 with 2 minutes to go. You got to close. You give Texas Tech, I think, all the credit in the world for going on that 10-0 run. Notre Dame was sloppy, sloppy, sloppy inside 2 minutes. But there was no excuse for the officiating in the Baylor-North Carolina game. I mean, like I said earlier, I think the tournament, the officiating's been really good,
right,
in my opinion. That game was the outlier. It was just – the refs never got control of what was a physical, chippy game. And I give Baylor all the credit in the world for the comeback because it was remarkable what they did. And I give North Carolina all the credit in the world for just a total gut check in overtime because they had no Caleb Love, No Brady Manic.
Right.
No momentum. And the place going, oh, my God, they just blew a 25-point lead. Historical. Mm-hmm. And North Carolina said, no, no, no. Let's go win the game. And by the way, the Heels now 3-0 this year in overtime.
The only thing I can share with you about the officiating in the tournament is this. Donnie Epley, Brent Hampton, and Kip Kissinger were the officials. Hampton and Kissinger.
You should say their names again because you're not going to see them again moving forward.
Well, that was what I was getting to. There is an evaluation process. These guys are competing just like the teams are in many respects, as Mark and I touched on, I think, briefly last week. So J.D. Collins is the National Supervisor of Officials for College Basketball for the NCAA. He has guys at every regional site, and J.D. moves around to regional sites this weekend for sure, and he'll do it again next week, I'm guessing, as well. Although it's a little trickier when you get to the hard regional sites at that stage. I would say this. You'll see guys not advance. I would tell you that there'll be some accountability held for the game. I mean, you don't have 53 fouls and 64 free throws.
So I just looked up.
Yeah. 53 fouls and 64 free throws and see guys advance.
And by the way, the official fouls at the end of the day, for everybody, oh, these guys are cheating us. Yet. At the end of the day, Baylor got called for 27 fouls, North Carolina 26.
Yeah.
Just saying. But you don't want to see a game
that's it
with 64 free throw attempts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
No.
I mean, not at this level. If you want to go see a church rec league game, hey, that's fine. Put everybody on the line. Everybody's hacking everybody. I get it. But, you know, these are quality teams.
The other thing, too, is probably ought to pause here and mention that R.J. Davis was terrific.
Whew.
I mean, terrific.
Awesome.
And for Carolina now, two of your biggest wins that have occurred now in the last, what, 2 weeks, R.J. Davis has been a central figure.
Well, when we were goofing around and got the honor to do the Duke-North Carolina game, K's last game, I believe in the second half I mentioned R.J. Davis is probably going to be up for the Holly Farms Player of the Game Award. He was terrific. And given the fact that Caleb Love fouls out, it put even more pressure on R.J. Davis to say, guess what, boys, let's go. And, you know, Baycott does his typical double-double, solid. But that lineup Hubert had on the floor, though, there were times Saturday, North Carolina fans, I guarantee you, were looking around going, man, where are we going to score?
Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
Yep.
So, a great win, though. Tremendous win.
Tar Heels are winners. They meet UCLA. That's Friday night in Philadelphia. Bruins have beaten Akron and St. Mary's.
Are you surprised it's only the third time they've hooked up in the NCAA tournament? They played in the 1968 NCAA championship game.
Yes, in Los Angeles at the Sports Arena.
And then they beat UCLA in the second round in 89.
That is correct.
And this is going to be only the third time North Carolina and UCLA, given all the tradition, all the history of both those programs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to believe this, only the third time they're going to hook up in the tournament.
They played a regular season series
in
the 80s. In fact, UCLA was supposed to open the Smith Center in December of 1985. The building was delayed to January of 86. Duke ended up being the first game. They've played one regular season series. And they played in Maui a couple times as part of the Maui Invitational.
And we're scheduled to play in Vegas, which unfortunately North Carolina played Kentucky and lost by 100 in that game.
That is correct.
If you remember that.
It was 100, yes.
It felt like it.
Just felt like 100. The men's side has been a successful trip, 3 in the Sweet 16. The ladies' side has a chance as well to be successful. But there have been some bumps along the way. We will talk about that when we come back. Packer and Durham's Monday continues on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program if you'd like to chime in. We got a lot to cover. It's more than just hoops over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to cover everything as we always do between now
and
10 a.m.
We got swimming coming up here. We got
the best and worst of the weekend. The best of the weekend could be an hour long with all the stuff that went on this weekend.
We got insane baseball, too. Yep. I mean, just insane.
Stupid stuff going on baseball.
Baseball is just like, what's going on there? It's like organized batting practice.
I like it.
I know you do.
I love baseball anyhow.
Yeah. Well, you're finally ultimately going to get some. All right. Let's go to the ladies' side. You know the story there. Lots of ACC teams. We lost one on opening night or the second night of the tournament, Florida State. They bowed out to Missouri State. So really what we were left with was teams now trying to wade their way through. Remember, we had all those five seeds. We didn't have anybody with a four. What kind of impact would we have there?
Bummed out about the Hokies now.
We'll get to that.
But we had
two number ones, and one of them has already picked up two wins and is on the way to the Sweet 16, and that is in Louisville, where last night Haley Van Lith sparked the Cards to a 9-point win on Gonzaga.
Chester was fired up.
Yeah, Chester was keyed up, player, I'm sure. Here she goes. Haley Van Lith. The lefty from Wenatchee, I mean, just scooping and scoring, came out of a timeout in a television break where it was a little tight game, 5 points, I guess. Banged a three from the right side, right in front of the bench. I mean, look at this, catch and shoot, money, let's go. Telling you now, she's played great in the two ball games. 21 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists.
The crowd's into it. Life is good. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of drama in that first round. The number one seeds and the number two seeds.
Right.
Well, hear me out now. The number one seeds and the number two seeds in the women's tournament, the first round games, the average margin of victory in those eight games was 37.5 points a game.
Yeah.
37, Wes.
Yeah.
37.
That is correct.
Whew.
Yeah.
But Louisville moves on 5 straight years, as you mentioned, the Sweet 16. Jeff Hall is sitting back, and you know what? Number two seed in the region. Catch you later.
That's it.
So life is good. If you're a Louisville fan, now do you have Kenny Payne over there, who did a great job in the press conference on Friday?
No question.
It was great.
Yep.
And now the women's team sitting pretty. Sitting in a good spot.
So we got one to the Sweet 16. We had an 8 seed challenge a 1 seed yesterday. And in fact, Miami held South Carolina to a season low 49.
But
they only scored 33.
That's a problem.
And it was kind of south of acceptable in terms of offense in the ball game. But
I don't know. Miami had 15 points after three quarters.
That was
15 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dawn Staley's got a great program.
Sure does. And Aaliyah Boston is terrific.
Yeah. Really
number
good.
Number 4 in the white. Really good. You feel bad. The finality in this for Katie Meyer hit quick. 8 straight Sweet 16 for South Carolina. Boy, Miami had a great year, though. Destiny Harden, Kelsey Marshall. Katie Meyer's got a lot to be proud of with that team. But they bow out yesterday with the final there in Columbia.
I don't think anybody has been real excited about having to go play South Carolina and Columbia in the tournament.
I would agree with that.
No. No one would be excited about that opportunity.
South Carolina will move on to Greensboro, by the way. And they will be waiting for the winner of North Carolina and Arizona, which takes us to today's schedule. Pac told you at the top of the show today, we got 3 Atlantic Coast Conference teams on the line today. NC State and Kansas State in Raleigh, 4 o'clock on ESPN. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. North Carolina, Arizona is late night from Tucson, 10 o'clock on ESPN2. The winner of North Carolina, Arizona gets South Carolina in Greensboro.
Beats sitting on the couch.
Yeah, it does.
Tell you that much. And, you know, North Carolina figures out a way to win as a 5 seed, right? Mm-hmm. Notre Dame figures out a way to win as a 5 seed. Hokies did not.
Carolina and Notre Dame both have to win on respective home floors of those schools.
Hence the reason why being a 5 seed versus a 4 seed is a big deal. The ability to host in the women's tournament.
All right, the disappointment for Virginia Tech. Remember Kenny Brooks was with us last week, and the Hokies fell to Florida Gulf Coast the other day at College Park. Remember Kenny Brooks talking about all the threes?
Yep.
And Florida Gulf Coast hit 16 of them
yep.
during the course of the game, and it offset 42 points from Liz Kittley.
Yeah. Again, you got a game in the 80s. We didn't see a whole lot of that in the women's tournament so far. But nope. Those teams getting up and down the floor, scoring a ton. Disappointing end for really the Hokie weekend.
Right.
Between the men and the women being one and done. But, you know, Virginia Tech finally cracked the top 25. I thought they didn't get a whole lot of love by the voters.
Right.
But that is a talented team, and Kenny's put together a tremendous program.
Yep, sure has. Tough way for Asia Shepherd's career to end.
Yeah, huh? It sure was.
Georgia Tech fell to Kansas, by the way, out in Palo Alto on opening night in an 8-9 game.
That didn't surprise me. And no. Georgia Tech's really been struggling to score the basketball. Their defense has been really consistently good. Yep. But again, 8-9 games, that's a dice roll. You roll it out there, see where it goes.
So 3 more teams left on the women's side. We told you 3 left of the Sweet 16 on the men's side. Got two NIT teams, and Boston College playing their second round game, women's NIT.
That's exactly right.
There you go. I'm telling you what now, that's tonight too.
Right.
When correct. We come back, best of the weekend kicks off the 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget Kenny Payne coming up at 8:30. Oh, Charlotte North. Look at that thing. That was a laser. We got wrestling, we got lacrosse, we got baseball, we got lots of Virginia swimming. All that and more coming up. Best of the weekend kicks off hour two of Monday's Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.